The history of rock and roll continues with rock groups of the mid-60s. We begin with Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Who wants to buy this diamond ring? She took it off her finger now. It doesn't mean a thing. This diamond ring doesn't shine for me anymore. And this diamond ring doesn't mean what it did before. So
Diamond Ring was written in part by Al Kooper, a founding member of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. It was recorded in 1965 by the son of comedian Jerry Lewis.
You know, trying to do exactly what my dad's doing right off the bat, now that's stupid. I could never do what he's doing now. So I got a group together and, you know, started doing something that he had never done. Sort of like earning my own identity first. And then if I make it there, I can go into comedy or do a picture or maybe a TV series and people will know it's me, you know.
Gary Lewis's career spanned 5 years, including 7 top 10 records in a row. We'll hear more of them later on in the history. But for now, here's a song composed by one of Buddy Holly's crickets, Sonny Curtis. It was a hit in 1966 for the Bobby Fuller Four.
I'm
I Fought the Law from the Bobby Fuller Four, 1966. Later that year, a band from Chicago became one of the first American groups to cover a British hit. The original version had been by Them, a band led by Van Morrison. But in America, the million seller belonged to The Shadows of Night.
So good. Make me feel alright. And her name is G L O I I I G L O R I A.
Oh yeah.
G L O R I A.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna shout all night. She made me feel all right. Comes walking down my street. Why don't you come up to my house? Knock upon my door. And then she call out my name. That made me feel all right.
The Shadows of Night and Gloria. It came out in March of 1966, and the same month brought the first number one record for a group from Long Island, New York. Guitarist Gene Cornish recalled their beginning.
We had a different name every show, from the Sardines, the Crayons, you know, and it got to the point where we needed a name because no one knew who we were. So Dino was watching the Little Rascals on television, so we decided on the Rascals.
One, two, three! Do-da-da. Do-da-da.
I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor,
Doctor,
Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me what's ailing me?
Doctor,
you said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good Lovin' from the Young Rascals, one of the earliest blue-eyed soul bands. We'll hear more from the Rascals later on, but for now, a group from the Pacific Northwest that featured a young singer named Mark Lindsay.
A man approached us and said, "Oh, you must be rock and rollers. You have long hair and you're not wearing a Homburg hat and a business suit. Therefore, I deem you to be rock and rollers." We said, "Yes, it's true. We haven't been known to rock and to roll occasionally."
The man was Dick Clark, who offered the group a unique deal, starring in a daily half-hour television series, Where the Action Is.
He said, "We would like it to sound hip and rocking and teen and whatever." And so we said, "Okay, we accept the challenge."
Revere and the Raiders and Kicks, perhaps rock's first anti-drug song. Again, lead singer Mark Lindsay.
We liked the melody, and we liked especially what the song was saying. And we decided right then we'd cut it. We went in and cut it one night. It really was a little ahead of its time, I guess. We thought it was a very good song if it would just get airplay.
Kicks got a lot of airplay in the spring of 1966 as the Raiders' first top 10 record. Sharing the charts with the Raiders were the Standells. Guitarist Larry Tamblyn recalled their biggest hit.
"Well, Dirty Water was recorded in Armin Steiner's garage. He had a really going garage at that time. He recorded Paul Revere and the Raiders. It took us quite a long time to do because we did a lot of very unique things as far as recording, like we were doubling all the instruments, even the drums and the bass, and just doubling everything."
Next, the Standells, when the history of rock and roll continues. The history of rock and roll continues with the Standells.
"I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going to tell you a big fat story, baby. It's all about my town. Yeah, down by the river. Down by the banks of the River Charles. That's what's happening, baby. That's where you'll find me.
Dirty Water from the Standells, April 1966. Again, lead guitarist Larry Tamplin.
Dirty Water was written by Ed Cobb, our producer, who was originally one of the Four Preps. He was so impressed with Boston that he just knew he had to write a song, a funky song, about what it's like living along the river there. A lot of people thought we were from Boston, of course, and none of us knew Boston from the letter B. I mean, the first time we saw Boston was when we toured there with the Rolling Stones.
1966 was also the year that a five-year-old record cut in a Michigan radio station became number one.
My baby does the hanky-panky. Does the hanky panky?
Tommy James and Hanky Panky, a song recorded in 1961, but it didn't become a hit until 1966. Tommy explained.
I was home one weekend and pretty miserable and pretty depressed and quite out of work. And I got a call from a fellow in Pittsburgh, a local disc jockey there, who said, is this Tommy James? I said, yes. He said, your record is number one. I said, what? I said, you must have the wrong number. I almost hung up on the guy. But it was true. Somebody had played the record as an oldie, and of course nobody had ever heard it, so that made it a newie, I guess, and had sold 80,000 copies in 10 days. And 4 weeks after that, it was number one in the nation.
Hanky Panky kicked off a long and successful career for Tommy James, including more than two dozen hit records. Next, a group named after a late-night horror movie. Bobby Baldarama of Question Mark and the Mysterians talked about their first hit.
The original recording of 96 Tears was recorded in a living room. And we just went in there and did it. And, like, the whole band really wrote it, you know. And Question Mark originally wanted to call it Too Many Teardrops, if you can remember the lyrics of it. He goes, Too Many Teardrops? Anyway, our drummer, like, came up with a name. He says, why don't we call it 69 Tears, you know, and then one of us guys said, well, you know, if you call it 69 Tears, they ain't gonna play it on the radio. So somebody said, well, they just turned the numbers around and called 96 tears.
Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying. Too many teardrops for one heart to carry on. You're way on top now since you left me. You're always laughing way down at me. But watch out now, I'm gonna get there. We'll be together for just a little while, and then I'm gonna put you way down here, and you'll start crying. 96 tears. Cry. And when the sun comes up, I'll be on top. You be right down there, looking up. And I might wave, come up here, but I don't see you waving now. I'm way down here, wondering how I'm gonna get to you, but I know now, I'll just cry, cry, I'll just cry. Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying. Too many teardrops for one heart to carry on. You're gonna cry 96 tears. You're gonna cry 96 tears. You're gonna cry, 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 cry now. You're gonna cry, 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 cry 96 tears. Come on, let me hear you cry now. 96 tears. Woo! I wanna hear you cry.
96 tears from Question Mark and the Mysterians. Among the developments of 1966 was Rock's first TV comedy series. Songwriter Bobby Hart of the team of Boyce and Hart recalled his inspiration for the first hit to come from that show.
I was driving down the street, and as I pulled into my driveway, a new Beatles record came on the air that I'd never heard before, and I just heard the fade out of it. And I thought they were saying, take the last train to something, and I couldn't figure out what they were saying, but that was kind of the way it went. Later, I found out that record was Paperback Writer. Paperback Writer, take the last... And anyway, I said, well, since that's not the name of it, might be a good title for a song. So Tommy and I finished it up because we needed one more cut for the first Monkees album. Turned out to be the first single, and you know the rest.
Reservation, don't be slow. No, 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 no. Cause I'm leaving in the morning, and I must see you again. We'll have one more night together till the morning brings my train, and I must go. No, 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 no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Conversation. Take the last train to Clarksville. Now I must hang up the phone. I can't hear you in this noisy railroad station. All alone, I'm feeling low. No, 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 no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Oh.
had made your reservations. Don't be slow. I'm the no-no. I'm the no-no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville.
Take the last train to Clarksville from the Monkees, stars of their own TV series in 1966. Next, another group from that year who wore fluffy shirts and Dracula capes when the history of rock and roll continues. The history of rock and roll continues with a count five. Psychotic Reaction, the Count Five from the fall of 1966. One of the group's members had been taking a psychology course in college, and when the topic turned to psychotic reactions, the idea for Count Five's biggest hit was born. 1 month later, a man named Bill Bradshinkle came out of the Midwest with his group. We know Bill better as Mitch Ryder.
Looking mighty now, here she comes. Wearing a wig, hat, and shades to match. Got her high-heeled shoes and an alligator hat. Wearing her pearls and a diamond ring. Got rings, it's on her finger now and everything. Devil with a blue dress on. She's a devil with a blue dress on. Chanel number 5. Got to be the 5.
hottest girl alive. You walk real cool, catches everybody's eye. Got to be nervous, but can't say hi. Not too skinny, she's not too fat. She's a real dumb dinger, and I like her like that. Devil with a two-rap, two-rap song. She's a devil with a two-rap song. Hey, I say now.
Gonna sock it to me now. Ah!
The trademark of Mitch Ryder was a searing falsetto scream, reminiscent of Little Richard. Mitch would scream until his face turned beet red, resulting in a number of throat operations. Also in 1966, five Bronx musicians stepped on stage at the Fillmore East in electric suits that lit up. They call themselves the Blues Magoos. Their biggest hit was We Ain't Got Nothing Yet. Blues Magoos from December 1966. One of the last big groups to appear that year came from Chicago. Guitarist Dennis Stefano explained why it took so long for the Buckinghams to release Kind of a Drag.
The company just thought that some of the other ones, which were a little more upbeat and a little more soulful, let's say, would be more sure hits. So they held on to Kind of a Drag for actually about a year and a half. And every time there was a release date to be set, we said, you know, release Kind of a Drag. It's a good record. And they said, no, well... And they just kind of ignored us, and it was a small label, and there wasn't too much communication. And the last record in the contract was Kind of a Drag.
and kind of a drag, broke in the Midwest, and about 3 months later, it was a national hit.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. Kind of a drag when you know she's been untrue.
You know the words I can say, and I know that you've been cheating.
Months after the Buckinghams hit with Kind of a Drag, the Turtles released their first number one record. Group members Howard Keelan and Mark Volman remembered.
We had found
an awful-sounding dub that had been turned down by so many people it was ridiculous. But for us, it had a very soft beginning.
There it was.
And a rousing chorus. It's like, I don't care who they wrote it for, they should have written it for us in the first place. We freaked. We loved it, and we knew it was a hit.
We played it on tour for about 6 weeks, and the reaction was unbelievable, and we kind of perfected the song by doing that.
It was very well thought out. You know?
How many copies did it sell?
Well,
worldwide, about 3.5 million singles.
Yeah. Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, and ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. so happy together. And how is the weather? So happy together. We're happy together. So happy
The Turtles and Happy Together from 1967. Next, a group from Memphis whose sound was described as pure rolling pleasure. Their first hit is next, when the history of rock and roll continues. The history of rock and roll continues with the Box Tops.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more. Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more. Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. My baby just wrote me a letter.
The Letter, first recorded by the Box Tops from Memphis. 2 months later, another Southern band hit the charts with Judy in Disguise. Leader John Fred of the Playboy band recalled that hit.
Well, the band didn't want to do the song. Nobody wanted to do the song, probably except, you know, I would say I was the strongest at getting it recorded because everybody thought it was stupid. When we brought the final mix back to Parlor Records, you know, right away, everybody in the whole office just said, that's the next single, you know. And to be number one in the nation at the time, Hello Goodbye was number one. Woman, Woman by Gary Parker was number two with a bullet. And Chain of Fools by Aretha Franklin was number three with a bullet. And Judy in Disguise was number four with a bullet the week before it made number one. And I said, oh, we'll never make it, you know. And then I got a phone call saying, man, you're not going to believe it, but Judy in Disguise jumped from four to one, and the Beatles jumped from one to four. I mean, it was just a giant record.
night. I've taken everything in sight. I'm tipping the strings of my kite. Judy in the sky, what you aiming for? Just take your glasses.
Judy in Disguise, solid gold in 1967 for John Fred and the Playboy Band. The next year was a crucial one for a Los Angeles group named after a theater marquee. Bob Grill of the Grassroots explained why he didn't want to record Midnight Confessions.
It just didn't strike me as a folk rock type thing that we were really, you know, used to doing. And so I didn't want to do it. So it was around for a couple of months, and we kept playing it, and Steve Barry, our producer, kept going, "Hey, man, we'll..." Finally we did it, and it was the biggest record we ever had.
Grassroots and Midnight Confessions from the fall of 1968. Next, the soulful side of the 60s when the history of rock and roll continues.